As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, guess what? It's Baseball Central for Wednesday, May 25th. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening pleasure.
Hey, happy.
Piss off. Oh. The Blue Jays.
Can you say that on the radio?
I just did. Blue Jays, 6-0 losers to New York Yankees last night. Another El Stinko-rama performance by the Jays lineup. A couple of hits. Hey, Bark, where do you want to... We could talk about Josh Donaldson bunting in the third inning, but Buck Martinez told me that I was completely wrong and you were completely right, so I'm not even going to mention the fact that
Josh Donaldson... That I was completely right?
Well, Buck's point, for those of you who may have missed it, Josh Donaldson last night. First of all, you're playing the Yankees. They've got, you know, Betances, Chapman, and Miller. If you don't score any... If you don't score runs, if you don't have 8 runs by the...
Fifth inning,
you're screwed. I mean, you might as well just... You know, might as well invoke the mercy rule. Anyhow, third inning last night, of course, the Jays, as usual, can't beg, borrow, or steal a hit. Josh Tolley, miracle of miracles, gets on base.
Good eye. He had a good eye at the plate.
He had a good eye at the plate. He drew a walk, which is really, for Josh Tolley, the most productive outcome you can expect when he's...
He plays once a week, Jeff.
Yeah, he does.
Can't give him a hard time when he plays once a week.
Yeah, you can. Anyhow, he draws a walk, and so that's a pretty good start to the inning. Jose Bautista comes up, singles, man at first, man at second. Third inning, Josh Donaldson, reigning American League MVP, destroyer of pitchers' dreams last year, comes up and attempts to bunt his way on. He gets thrown out. It goes down as a sacrifice fly, which is a stupid call by the official score. But anyhow, everybody knows he was attempting to bunt his way on. And then Edwin comes up, strikes out swinging. Michael Saunders comes up, flies out to center field. Now, my whole point is it's a third inning. Bunting at the best of times is dumb. It's okay late in the game, but in the third inning, you're basically giving up an out. My point was you got to score. One or two runs isn't going to do it against the Yankees. My point was your chances of a big inning are a lot better having Josh Donaldson swing away. And I showed up at the office today feeling that way. And then Buck Martinez essentially told me
that Josh Donaldson's 11 for his last 60 with 3 RBIs.
And
well,
he said,
you can argue that too.
He said, have you seen Josh Donaldson hit yet?
You can't hit a ball for two right now. And that's 1 through 9. I think your chances of scoring a run from second and third with less than 2 outs are a lot better than first and second.
Buck's point was.
How's that?
Well, you know, I still kind of agree with Greg Zahn. Zahn called it a.
Stupid play. Yeah.
Stupid play.
Well, yeah. And I know the stats against Eovaldi was 3 for 10 with 2 homers and a double. Yeah. But that, to me, that what that says is 1 through 9 in that lineup doesn't have it. And it's whatever it's going to take to score a run early in the game to try and give this team some confidence and put pressure on an opposing team. That's what that's all about. It's, do you want to see that all the time? Of course not. You don't want to see your MVP ever doing that. But that tells you something with what the 1 through 9 in that lineup's feeling right now. They don't feel anything. And 11 for 60 with 3 RBIs from the American League reigning MVP, how could you? To me, it's hard to argue either way.
Was he going to bunt his way out of a slump? This is what I don't get about it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm even getting more pissed off. So I'm not going to. I'm just going to drop it. Anyhow, Josh Donaldson dropped the bunt, and it didn't matter anyhow because Edwin came out.
Was it that big of a deal?
Yeah, to me it indicates you're scared as hell. Is what it indicates to me. You're scared. I mean, you ran up the white flag. Now, if you were going to do that and pass the baton to a guy who was on fire with runners in scoring position, I'd go okay. But the guy who is on fire isn't coming up until after Edwin. That's my other part of the argument here, is Josh Donaldson, Edwin, am I going to give up an out thinking that there's a better chance that Edwin can make something happen. I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't matter. The Jays lost 6-0. Nathan Eovaldi ate him up. R.A. Dickey was R.A. Dickey. God love him. He did exactly what R.A. Dickey's going to do and pitched well enough to win. He also pitched just well enough to lose with this particular team.
He gives up too many home runs. That's his issue.
He does give up
95 home runs and 111 starts as a Blue Jay. That's obviously the most in Major League Baseball in that time frame.
But it's
too many. Again, it's not R.A. Dickey's fault. They were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position and left 7 guys on base. That's not having an approach. That's not using a big part of the field. And we say that all the time on this show. That's going up and not having a clue of what you're doing when guys are on base. And it's showing. And until these guys buy in that there's a lot of hits up the middle and the other way using the big part of the field, and then you pull hanging breaking balls, you pull bad pitches for home runs. That's what we saw a lot of last year. You're not seeing that now. They basically shrunk the field to the lines because they're going up on each side of the, whether they're right-handed or left-handed, and they're pull happy. And you're seeing big, huge swings on pitches away. You know, the one time I'd just like to walk up to Edwin and push him closer to the plate while he's hitting. You know, I'm a big fan of Edwin's. I played with Edwin quite a few times.
He likes you. You go on the field, he gives you a warm hug.
I could go
and then talks English to you for 20 minutes.
I could go sit, you know, stay at his house in the Dominican Republic. But I'm saying over and over and over again, you see a pitching staff on every team they're facing. The word's out. He can't hit a fastball away consistently. Make him show us he can do that and until you start changing things. And he just hasn't made an adjustment. It's very frustrating to watch that.
Jays 0-for-21. Not going to lie. 0-for-21 when the other team scores 4-plus runs.
Yeah, and now they're 30th in Major League Baseball and runners in scoring position at 212.
That's hard to do.
American League average is 253. So you just think if they added another 35 or 40 points to that 212, where they would be in the standings. They wouldn't be 7 out.
No.
It's consistent every day that they're trying to do too much, and it's showing with the bunt.
Right.
That's just another example. Whether you like it or not, that's a team that's searching, and they're going to try to do whatever it takes, whatever reason, however you feel about that. It's 1-9 doesn't have right now. You know, to a man, there's a couple of guys, Smoke and Saunders. Smoke doesn't play enough to be hot consistently all the time because he's got a bigger swing. He needs to play every day. You know, you can think what you want about Edwin playing first base. You have your opinion. I don't know what it is, but it makes sense that when you go to a place that has a short right field,
you want your
best left-handed power hitter to be in that game a lot. I'm just saying that would make some sense.
I agree, and what we need to do, let's see how many more games Edwin plays at first base because
your theory would make more sense.
Well, it's not just my theory. It's other people, and I checked with a couple of people I know with the Mets.
But
there's, you know, that Edwin's playing first base for a reason. And look, we're going to have that discussion at some point.
Okay. Edwin's 9-for-54, hitting .167 with runners in scoring position. I'm not, you know, you talk about it sometimes, what team would want him or what team would want a certain guy. You're basically what you're trying to do. We'll say it's the Mets. You're basically trying to find lightning in a bottle. We know Edwin's a very good player.
Yes.
But 9-for-54 is no joke.
Yeah, but it's also 54. It's 54 at bats. It's not
54 it's bats not, for a cleanup hitter is a lot, Jeff. That's a lot, and obviously he's been hitting third last couple of days. But
you would be investing in a guy who you think is likely to go back to his track record.
Okay.
Anyhow,
I'm not sure.
Know,
I
nobody's
see that,
saying it's guaranteed to happen. But anyhow,
it makes a lot of sense.
Well, no. John Gibbons said, look, I want Edwin to get in the game. You know, I want Edwin to get in the game, and that's fine. But
he's in the game when he DHs.
But like you, well, I think, you know, feel more part
I know
of
what he said. I know what he means, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But it also didn't make a whole lot of sense not to have Justin Smoke in that
exactly
one.
Right.
Anyhow, want to talk also about it, and we're going to be joined by Joe Biagini at 11:30. I guess the one along with 11:40, whatever. It's like being 30th in the league or 29th in the league.
It matters.
We got Jack Curry at 11:15, Yankees analyst for the Yes Network. And then Joe Biagini of the Blue Jays will join us at 11:40. He and Roberto Osuna, apparently the only two guys who know how to get anybody out in the bullpen. Certainly the only two guys that John Gibbons thinks can get anybody out in the bullpen. Gavin Floyd, maybe a bit. Yankees first at bat yesterday. Felipe Alou used to always have this line that if the first play of the game isn't made, you're going to lose. He used to believe that. First play of the game, if you don't make that play, you're going to lose. Jacoby Ellsbury leads off. Triple. Jose Bautista.
Bad judgment.
Bad judgment.
Right.
Maybe took his at-bat in the field with him. I don't know. Bad judgment. Run comes in to score, obviously, on a fielder's choice.
I just think it gets
that
back.
That kind of set. That set the tone.
Sure it does. With R.A. Dickey on the mound, of course it does. It's very hard for a knuckleball guy to strike guys out mm-hmm. and leave a guy on third base. We talk about that all the time with the bullpen. They're last in strikeouts. Obviously, they pitch the least amount of innings of anybody in Major League Baseball. But it's when you have to sometimes know the situation and know what's going on. And, again, it gets back to you talked about the bunt. Well, guys are trying to do things that they normally don't do. They're trying to push the envelope on occasion. And that was one of those cases where if I make a great play here, that fires my team up. It may work the other way. And it just didn't work out. I have a tough time busting a guy's chops when he's hustling and diving for a baseball to help his team win a game. I know that it was probably a bonehead play, but still, I have a tough time really complaining about a guy that's all out and diving for a baseball to help his pitcher win a game. Sometimes I have an issue with that. Was it smart? Of course not, the first inning.
Did he
but
have
right now,
prayer,
they're 6 games back.
Did he have a prayer of getting it?
Well, he missed it by a foot. So what's a prayer?
What you're saying to me then is that this is a team that's panicking.
100%. 1,000%. Right. That's what they're doing. And you can see it. We talk about the big three. Mm-hmm. You can see now when Edwin takes pitches and when he's striking out, his demeanor is different. The way he's walking around, there's no more throwing the bat. It's basically when I strike out, now it's just laying the bat down and laying the helmet down. Yeah, they are. They're to the point, I think, you know, you're seeing it with the bunt, you're seeing it with the diving in the outfield. Yeah, this team, I think, is at that desperate stage, and they're going to try and do whatever possible they can do to try and score runs and win games. We know that when you have trouble beating the worst team in baseball in the Twins, did we really think coming in and having the best bullpen in baseball with the Yankees that it was just going to be easy for the Jays to go in and score 10 runs in the first 6 or 5 innings and beat the Yankees? Two or three out of four, it's going to be tough.
And the bad thing now is that the Yankees only needed to use Dylan Betances in the first game of the series. So now you've got pitching matchups that would appear to favor the Blue Jays. Marco Estrada against Ivan Nova. J-Hap against CC Sabathia. But you're facing those two pitchers with a fully rested bullpen. Tonight you can go to both Miller and Chapman if you're Joe Girardi. You probably could go to Dylan Betances if you want. Or you can just hold on to Dylan Betances and then tomorrow go with Dylan Betances and one of the other guys. I mean, the problem with last night's result is not just that the Jays lost. That's bad. But they lost, and Joe Girardi only had to use one of his significant relievers.
Yeah, that means Miller or Chapman can go more than one inning. He can go 4 or 5 outs,
sure,
either guy. So you're basically just in the same boat you were, minus one guy, because now they can cover the middle of the 7th all the way to the 9th inning with two guys. Basically is what you got now, because they're healthy. And they're, you know, it's we can come on this show and keep talking about, you know, the bullpen's not doing it. Of course, they need to be better than giving up 30 runs and 68 chances and inherited runners. They need to do better. But, man, enough's enough, hitting 212 runners in scoring position. Enough's enough.
The bullpen hasn't been very good, but I'm with you. I'm at the point now where it's 100% in the offense.
It's 1,000%. And you're seeing it with guys now with the diving and the bunting, and you're seeing it now. People are – it's not early anymore.
Yeah.
And – Do we have an answer for it? I don't think so.
A couple of newsy items. Aaron Sanchez's start has been pushed back, whereas the Jays had a day off Monday. So Aaron Sanchez gets the extra day. He will start against Boston on Friday. Devin Travis continuing his rehab at AAA Buffalo. He is getting close to the point where the Jays can, if they wish, to activate him off the disabled list. A couple of reports saying there's a sense that Devin Travis could be with the team as soon as Friday, although Mark Shapiro suggested last week that they were going to at least exercise a little bit of caution with him. And Aaron Loop had a good outing yesterday, and he's getting closer to coming here. Not going to be the answer necessarily for what ails his bullpen. But
Devin Travis, I don't think, is the answer either, because you have multiple struggles in that lineup.
But again, it's, you know, you get these two guys back, and maybe Devin Travis gives you a little bit of that energy at the top of the lineup that that Brooke Jacoby has talked about.
He hasn't played a lot. He wants to prove something again, that, you know, those couple months that he played and he did really well, it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
Maybe. But again, it gets back to you have some of the best names in baseball on paper when you write the lineup out every day. Those guys need to get it going.
And I guarantee you, Kevin, that at the start of spring training, whenever Devin Travis's name came up, the discussion was always, boy, it's going to be such a nice acquisition to an already good lineup. It's going to be the thing that maybe get us over the top. Now, my fear is that the Blue Jays are almost looking at this kid as being the panacea. The guy's going to solve it. We're talking about a guy with 1 month in the majors.
Sure.
One very good month in the majors, but 1 month in the majors nonetheless. I'm afraid a lot of us may have... I don't know if I'd say underestimated the Yankees, undersold them. I mean, they are 22-22. They're at 500. They've won six in a row. I thought they were going to finish in last place.
I guess I didn't.
It's still possible. I know you didn't. You were much more bullish on them than I was. I mean, I admitted the bullpen, back of the bullpen.
It's a high school game when you play them.
But I'll tell you what, they're also getting a little bit of starting pitching, something I don't think that a lot of us thought would happen. Jack Curry is the Yes Network's analyst, and Jack Curry joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Curry.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Kevin. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Doing well. How is this team 500? Because I was told they were old and broken down and could barely move around, and that CeCe Sabathia was never going to pitch again, and that was wrong, whoever told me that.
Well, the answer most recently to that question is that they have gotten pitching. Their last six games, the reason they have a six-game winning streak is their starters have an ERA of under 1.5 in those six games. You guys got a chance to see Eovaldi last night, and even on a night where he didn't have his best stuff, he shut down the Blue Jays. And I know from being on hold and hearing some of what you guys have just said, obviously offense has been a problem for the Jays this year. They haven't produced to the level that they have been expected to, but Eovaldi's an interesting pitcher for the Yankees because he goes out there with stuff that is ace-like stuff. This guy should be pitching the way that he is right now. I think he forgets sometimes that 98 and 99 really plays, especially when you throw it inside more often. And he's got this splitter that dives. So he got this streak started for them. And if he could continue to pitch close to this level, they believe Tanaka is an ace. And I would say it's an ace with a small A. I mean, you're not putting him in Kershaw's class or Bumgarner's class, Arrieta, Sale, who else am I forgetting? But it's been the pitching lately, guys, that has really guided them. And the one thing that they can sort of hang their hat on going forward is they've done this without A-Rod, which some Yankee fans may say is good, but they actually need A-Rod to come back and produce. And with Teixeira doing almost nothing.
Mm.
So if those two guys, A-Rod will probably be back in a couple of days, if those two guys can ever get going, Yankees might be able to make a little more noise in this division.
Yeah, you just set that up for me. A-Rod, to my understanding, is ready to come back, and Joe Girardi basically said you're going to go back down for a couple more days and get some more at-bats. Does that have anything to do with Carlos Beltran DHing, and now he's got 10 home runs, he's driven in 29, he's got 29 RBIs, that leads the team in both of those categories. Does that have anything to do with it? And when A-Rod does come back, where does he play?
Both are great questions. When he comes back, he's the DH. Beltran goes back to right field. I think Beltran's hot streak gave them a little more freedom to say, you know what, why don't we let Alex Rodriguez go get 10 minor league at-bats? I think what has happened is Girardi now going forward can be more creative with his lineup. Alex Rodriguez, his numbers against lefties this year are great. Mm-hmm. Against righties, he has struggled. So when Alex Rodriguez comes back, even though he will be, quote, the full-time DH, I can see Girardi giving him a day here against a right-hander, another day here, because he can just DH Beltran and put somebody like Hicks out in right field. But I don't think that they said, let's just stash A-Rod in the minor leagues because Beltran is playing so well. Beltran's going to play either way. It was just they thought that let's get Alex Rodriguez timing back. Let's let him go have 10 at-bats or so in the minor leagues. It's fair to him. It's fair to everybody involved.
You know, Beltran's season, First of all, you can have a very interesting discussion about Carlos Beltran in the Hall of Fame, and but beyond that, the number of extra base hits he has this month, Jack. I mean, they're second to David Ortiz. These are two guys that are, well, one guy wants to quit, and I have no idea why. One guy wants to quit, and the other guy, I think, people are watching the body clock. It's kind of a remark. It's remarkable to see these two guys. I mean, they're not contributing by getting a single here and a single there and driving in runs. But they're getting doubles and homers.
Well, I saw a stat, I guess, a day or two ago that Big Poppy had 100 RBIs in his last 100 games. So I don't know what he's done in the last day or two, but that's amazing. And watching him against the Yankees, he always crushes the Yankees. But, I mean, he's been on everything they've thrown this year. It's like he's kicked it into another gear as he heads out the door. So I'm amazed by him, and you're absolutely right about Beltran. Go back to last April. Yankee fans were saying, get rid of this guy. They should buy out his contract. He's slow. He's old. He had an awful April. From May 1st until the end of the season, he was the Yankees' best offensive player. He's been their best offensive player this year. Now, he doesn't move well in the outfield. As Kevin just pointed out, he's a better DH. That's what he should be right now at this point in his career. They have Alex Rodriguez as their DH, so he's got to play 7 innings in the outfield. They got a lead. They take him out. They put in Hicks. What I find interesting, and the Hall of Fame discussion is interesting, and he's got my vote already, by the way.
Yeah,
what I find
mine too.
Interesting is where he goes from here. Mm. Because the Yankees have this plan of they're getting contracts off the books. It'll be Teixeira and Beltran this year. It's A-Rod and CeCe next year. They are going to miss Carlos Beltran. I doubt that he's a Yankee next year, but they are going to miss him. They have a kid, Aaron Judge, that they really like at AAA. Carlos Beltran is a clutch hitter. He's a professional hitter. There are guys in that clubhouse that look up to him, guys like Castro and Didi and other players who go to him for advice. This guy is one of the most professional players I've ever been around.
Yeah, how much does Joe Girardi get credit for this? Obviously, the Yankees in the last 10 games are 8-2. They've won 6 in a row. I'm a huge fan of Joe Girardi. I think anytime you can manage personalities in New York the way he does and basically keep everybody happy, that's a heck of a job. But does this turnaround have everything to do with Aroldis Chapman coming back, or does it have a lot to do with Joe Girardi? Who gets the credit for that?
Great question, Kevin. I'm going to give Girardi some credit. I'm going to distribute some credit to the rotation, like I just said. Their offense was so bad that it had to get better, so I'm not going to say that Girardi is the reason for that. Here's where I'll give Girardi the most credit. They're 8 games under 500. You've got to play when you're 8 games under 500. Every game that you have the chance to win, you had better seize the opportunity. And I think Girardi has done a great job with that bullpen. Initially in spring training, he said when Chapman came back, he didn't really want to use all 3 guys in one game because you want to be able to spread them out. If you spread them out, you might have 2/3 of them or 1/3 of them for 5 straight nights instead of 3 of them for 2 straight nights. Everybody gets a day off. But during this streak, when there has been an opportunity to win a game, he's pulled the starter and gone to those big 3. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Nova got pulled once with 70-something pitches.
62 pitches.
Another game with 62 pitches.
Yeah.
And people were screaming. You know what? To me, Girardi did the right thing. Get that win. Nova's a guy who last year struggled and was inconsistent, and he sometimes is a one-pitch pitcher with his sinker. You've got 98-99 with Betances, 95 with Miller and this knee-buckling slider, and then 100 with Chapman. Go get those 3 guys. Let them finish the game.
Conversation with Jack Curry of the YES Network. One of the other guys, and I have to admit, I didn't realize this about his numbers, quite frankly, till I looked at the game notes. But it looks like Jacoby Ellsbury's actually kind of done a pretty good impression of a leadoff hitter this month. Which that came as a surprise to me when I saw it.
He had a hip injury. He went out with a hip injury, and Yankee fans are saying he's fragile, he's brittle. And that's a fair criticism of Ellsbury. He missed a lot of games in his career. He's come back, and in the last dozen games or so, had an on-base percentage of over 400. And the swing has just been different, guys. I know you watch as much baseball as I do, and sometimes you see a guy swing, and whatever it is, he's fooled for a series of games. He's tired. He's guessing up there. Ellsbury is hitting line drives now. This is the guy the Yankees thought they got. Now, it's a very small sample size. Can he continue this for the rest of the year? we'll see. But when Ellsbury and Gardner are dynamic at the top of that lineup, this offense is so much different. The Yankees didn't get that for much of last year, and they still were able to nail down a wild card. I mean, it lasted one game, but there was a period for about the first 6 or 8 weeks of the year where both Ellsbury and Gardner were playing really well, and their offense was clicking. So, yeah, Ellsbury has looked very good. He's stealing more, not stealing more bases, but he's at least looking for the opportunity to run. That's another thing that Ellsbury and Gardner haven't done enough of. So, hey, they signed Ellsbury to a 7-year, $153 million contract. I heard Kevin say earlier about the big-name guys got to produce. Ellsbury is one of those guys for the Yankees. I mean, George Steinbrenner in his day, fair or not, would grade you on your paycheck. And if the team wasn't playing well, he went after the guys with the biggest paychecks. And Ellsbury is one of those guys for the Yankees. They need production from him.
Yeah, Starlin Castro, 43 games played. He's hitting .269. Watched him play a little bit of defense last night. He looks like he's fitting in. And you heard him a lot of talk when he was with the Cubs. He's playing shortstop. Just wasn't the right fit. Seems to me like coming to Yankee Stadium, he's sort of forgotten. He's the forgotten guy in the lineup. He's the forgotten guy on defense. He's a nice fit. First impressions, 43 games of him.
You know what, Kevin? Other than Beltran, and I know 269, 300 on base percentage, 4-something slugging doesn't sound overwhelming. Other than Beltran, he's actually been the Yankees' most consistent offensive player from day one until now. I think the transition to second base has been easy. I've talked to both he and Didi Gregorius, and they seem to make a good tandem over there. I actually think when a guy has already played shortstop, I know there are different angles at second base, but I actually think the transition to second base should be something you can do when you've played shortstop. And Carlos Beltran said something very interesting to me about Castro in spring training. He said Castro came up at such a young age and was part of this wave of rebuilding in Chicago and actually was part of getting them to the playoffs last year, that there was more pressure on Castro in Chicago than there will be in New York. And you just said that as well. This guy is just in the Yankees lineup. He's not supposed to be the savior. He's a guy who sometimes he's bad, he's hit second, sometimes he's hit seventh. So I think this was a good move by the Yankees. And they really like Adam Warren and having to give up him. That's a piece in your bullpen that you missed. But Castro has been a nice fit for them. I think the one thing they'd love to see him do a little more, and this may never come because sometimes players are who they are, they'd love to see him be a little more selective. I mean, in those 43 games, I think he's got 7 walks. They'd love to see him maybe not go out of the zone as much as he does, but sometimes he goes out of the zone, and that's the ball he hits into the right field gap. So you have to sometimes accept who players are.
Hey, Jack, we appreciate you doing this, man.
Jeff and Kevin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. That's Jack Curry of the Yes Network, Yes Network analyst. Here's something that'll make your day feel really good. The best records in the majors since May the 6th. San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees. Baltimore. See where it's going. Boston. Texas. Three best records. I mean, this division, and this is what Buck Martinez had a great line. He talked about this division isn't coming back to the Blue Jays. It's not coming back to the Blue Jays since May 6th. Three of the 5 best winning percentages in baseball belong to teams in this division. We're talking winning percentages of over .630.
Man,
this was not a good time to scuffle if you're the Blue Jays. Not a good time to scuffle. Joe Biagini will join us when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central for May 25th. Why do we even say the date?
People may not know.
Do you know when I first started when I first started doing radio?
Sometimes sounds like last week.
I used to do stuff like read the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's 11:37 on Baseball Central. Phil, the program director at the time, said, we don't need you to read the time. That's what they do in the morning show. You don't have to read the time or the weather or anything like that. I'd love to read the weather.
You should.
I'd love to read the weather.
Great.
Oh, that'd be
weather
great.
Person.
Yeah, the weather today.
Boy, that would fit your personality sucks. Perfect. It would be perfect for you. It's like motivational
speaking.
Oh,
look, Travis is here just in the nick of time with the notes for today's show.
Jeez. Stay hot, Travis.
Yeah, stay hot, Travis. You're on a roll, my friend. Nice job with the old Chuck phone call.
Oh, see?
Oh, look at that.
Man. What have you done for me lately? Come on, let's go.
God, he's pissed. Oh, he's so mad he's not even going to go in the mic. Anyhow, come on.
He hates you.
No, I treat him like my son. My illegitimate son, mind you.
Well, you're
I treat him
son.
Like my son. I don't have a son. The Jays play their second game of the three-game series against the Yankees tonight. Ivan Nova on the mound. So I guess, as we said with in our conversation with Jack Curry, I'm sure Joe Girardi will pull him in the second inning and then go with the three-headed
bullpen.
Why wouldn't
he? You wouldn't?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Hell yeah. And Aaron Sanchez will now pitch Friday against the Boston Red Sox and not Thursday. Against the Yankees. What else happened? We're going to be joined, by the way, by Joe Biagini in a few minutes. So I'm just taking a look. We got to talk a little bit about this. We got to talk about Matt Harvey getting his you-know-what lit up again. 7-4 loss in the Nationals. 5 innings pitched. 8 hits. 5 runs earned. He's got a 6.08 ERA. They're panicking in New York. He didn't talk to the media post-game, which has got everybody's you-know-what tied up in a knot.
He should have.
No.
Why wouldn't you?
You know,
he's not the number one on that team.
No, here's
you should.
Don't get me
come
started.
Out and say no why because you're
the media.
Well.
I know media rules in New York.
Your job.
They're more different than any place else. I seldom criticize a guy for not speaking. If a guy's been okay for most of the year, a dude needs a day off. I mean, I'll tell you, we used to give Roy Halladay a day off, and all that happens is there's a game where Roy really wasn't the story and just didn't feel like talking. PR department says, you know what, can we give Roy
a... How many bad starts has Harvey had in a row?
About
Does
12.
It say there? Okay,
about
did 12. Roy Halladay ever have 12 in a row bad?
He had a lot in a row when he first came up.
Okay,
oh,
well,
yeah.
That was first. He wasn't the number one, right, when he first came
but
up?
Any,
there you go.
Anyhow, point is, I mean, the Mets lost to the Nationals. A story out there today that I'm sure there are people going to roll their eyes at this, but I can tell you that I had a conversation with the player 2 years ago about this. The story out there is that Matt Harvey may be having an issue because he's gone off chewing tobacco and he's pitching.
Huh?
And I've had guys who I spoke to the player a couple of years ago admit it. He was addicted to the stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And he got off it. He was a hitter, mind you. He got off it. But he said There were 2 weeks where he said he was...
I didn't know that added mile per hour to your fastball. I didn't know that made your breaking ball break more. It didn't add more bite to it. I didn't realize that he was throwing strike one.
So I'm saying you don't...
Does it do all of that?
All right, I'm saying you don't buy it.
There you go.
Jackie Bradley Jr.'s hitting streak is 28 games. All right.
That's pretty good.
That's enough of the... Yeah, that's very good. That's enough of the news. Let's bring in Joe Biagini of the Toronto Blue Jays. Joe, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much, and howdy.
How are you?
I'm all right.
All right. Let me ask you, never mind the baseball. What'd you do in your off day in New York?
Well, that's a very appropriate question. It was a lovely off day. I got to hang out with a cute girl that I like.
Awesome.
And who lives here. And,
oh, really?
That was one of the highlights of my season so far, besides all of the...
We'll do the baseball stuff later. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, that comes second always. Yeah. You know, just kidding.
Well, no, you know what? Smart man, I'll tell you. I mean, if you're going to go out with a girl, have her in New York because it's a great place to visit.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no point in having a girlfriend in, like, Milwaukee or any of those places. Who the hell wants to go to Milwaukee?
I mean, although I've heard the people there are very wonderful and there's lots of stuff to do. But, yeah, you can't really beat New York. It's a pretty cool place to spend some time.
All right, so we're talking dinner in New York?
Dinner.
Not you and me, but you and her.
Show.
A Broadway show. Which show?
We went to American Psycho. It was a very charged performance.
Yes.
But I enjoyed it. It was entertaining, and
good stuff.
It was the Monday, so we didn't have a lot of options, but I was glad that worked out. It was pretty cool.
Excellent. Let me, you know, all kidding aside, I'm gonna. I love asking guys this when they first come up to the majors and get a taste of the majors.
Let's get serious.
No, not get serious. I want to do this. We got plenty of time. Barker's got a serious question. What is the coolest thing? Seriously, what is the coolest thing about being a major leaguer? You know, honestly,
I would say the pants.
Okay, why the pants?
The pants, because in the minor leagues, I think, like, notoriously, you go through the seasons and different teams, and there's always pants that are just, I don't know, I'm not saying that the quality's bad at any organization. I'm not talking about any specific thing, but
we're talking about hand-me-downs.
Yeah, you always kind of struggle to find, you know, there's not as many resources as, you know, as to be expected. And so you always struggle to find, you know, pants that fit correctly. And I just remember, you know, in spring training they did every year, but during the season, I remember getting to the season, they had like 12 pairs of pants for me. And I was like, this is an embarrassment of riches, you know, and they're comfortable and they're long enough and they're, you know, and I don't know, I think I look cute in them. So, you know, that's one of them. Also, you know, the chartered flights are pretty cool. It's pretty efficient getting from place to place, and it definitely beats the heck out of, you know, bus rides and trying to, you know, pretzel yourself into a comfortable position to, you know, try to get some sleep.
It's interesting because, you know, yeah, no, I was
more than that, I think just my teammates, just being around these guys that are so good and, you know, and having, you know, seen them play for years before and just kind of getting to learn from the coaches and the, you know, and the staff and the, you know, throwing to these catchers and having this defense behind you and watching them hit and everything. It's just, you know, obviously that's a pretty, pretty good perk of the gig.
You know, Joe, you've become, and we talked about this a little earlier, I mean, I think it's safe to say that you and Roberto Osuna and maybe Gavin Floyd, you're kind of the guys in the bullpen that John Gibbons trusts right now, and it is a bullpen in flux. What's the mood like down there? You know, because, I mean, the team's not scoring a lot of runs. A lot of attention early was on the bullpen. Quite frankly, it was probably unfair because the team just wasn't scoring a lot of runs. But what's the mood like down there right now?
Well, I think that it's, you know, we have a lot of expectations on ourselves. Now, obviously, I haven't been on this team for a long time, but I do understand kind of the culture of, you know, what our beliefs are about ourselves. I've, you know, spent a lot of time listening to some of the older guys like Storen and Gavin Floyd and Chavez and, you know, really everybody's had kind of a constant, you know, communication about just kind of what we're about, who we are, what we need to do to be successful, how to, you know, best put the team in positions to succeed. And, you know, we also talk about butterflies and flowers and stuff sometimes just to keep us sane, some of my favorite topics. But the guys have really, you know, stressed, you know, just how long of a season it is and how, you know, we're good enough, we belong there, we can trust our skills. And I think when we do that, you know, most fully, I think that's when we succeed. And, you know, we know how talented this team is, and we know, you know, we can see it. We've seen them perform before. They definitely have at times this season, and we fully expect that to be, you know, kind of getting into gear, you know, sooner than later. But honestly, when you think about the situations of the games that have been happening recently, you know, the guys have been helping me and some of the other younger guys kind of understand that, you know, we don't have to put any pressure on ourselves. You know, that's that can be done outside, you know, but for us, that's not a burden that we have to give ourselves. All we have to do is just the one simple burden of, you know, of sticking to our task, doing our job, making sure that we are prepared to compete every day. And, you know, with the talent of this team, if we just kind of continue to build that mindset and grow in that, I think that we'll be fine, especially, you know, considering all of the resources that we have here with all the different guys contributing. And so, you know, that's something that doesn't have to worry us too much, because I feel like every team, you know, goes through this during a long season such as a baseball season.
Who's the best conversationalist in the bullpen? Your go-to guy for conversation about butterflies, flowers, whatever?
You know, sometimes I lock myself in the bathroom and talk to myself in the mirror. That's a pretty good conversation.
Well, at least you get to talk to someone you love. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, of course. You know, I don't know. Everybody kind of adds a different little flair. I don't know. I've been talking to Venditti since he's been here a lot. Gavin Floyd has kind of been like a mentorish type for me. We talk about, you know, God and life and existential questions and, you know, and then how to throw a, you know, sinker on the outside corner all anywhere, you know. Storin's got a good sense of humor. I like listening to him. He's got some good, you know, these guys. Really what it is me kind of tugging on their, you know, or tapping them on the shoulder and say, tell me another story from like when you were back in, you know, whatever season.
Right.
And they say, okay, I got one for you, you know. So it's kind of stuff like that. You know, it's just a nice group of guys. Asuna's funny, and he's, you know, and it's fun to see him get locked in when he's warming up.
John Gibbons has said on a couple of occasions that you know, they look at you and he said, I'd love to eventually see him as a starter. And maybe next year, once the whole Rule 5 thing is over, get into the rotation. How do you view yourself? Do you view yourself as a guy who could start, or do you kind of like the bullpen gig?
You know, I've always been comfortable as a starter just because I, you know, for 99% of my career with the Giants and the minor leagues, I was a starter, and some of it in college. I like the routine of it. I like that, you know, I can fit in my ballet, you know, midweek between games.
Mm-hmm.
I like the preparation, the, you know, ability to kind of set your schedule and knowing when you're going to pitch and be able to kind of prepare for that. But as a reliever, I kind of think one of the blessings in disguise is that it actually helps you kind of define and construct a preparation process, because you have to be ready to compete and pitch in any game. And it kind of helps you to streamline that and keep your mind active and focused. And that's a role that I've kind of embraced, because that kind of teaches me, you know, those skills that I can apply to starting if I ever get that opportunity. But for now, I'm obviously more than happy to be a reliever, and I would be more than happy to be a reliever for my whole career. But I appreciate that they see that potential in me, and you know, I would certainly jump at the chance to, you know, to have an opportunity to start.
Joe, listen, man, I appreciate you doing this. It's been a great sport. Continued success. Keep it going.
Well, thanks. And I've been hearing about your guys' success. Very, you know, you guys enunciate really well, always have interesting things to say. So I would wish the same to you guys.
Have you heard Kevin Barker enunciate?
Of course.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. Joe Biagini of the Blue Jays. You didn't even want to ask a question.
You were rolling with it.
Well, no. You know what? I'm gonna
agree with him on one thing. The
pants.
They're awesome.
You know, people are laughing.
They're amazing.
There's a great story on Steven Adams of the Oklahoma City Thunder talking about the coolest thing about being in the NBA. He said the coolest thing for him, getting on the charter, and he said, and there are tables.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the pull-down tables, because the charter, the NBA guys, you're talking about planes that are built for guys that are 7 feet, 6'8". They're real tables. He said, there's tables, there's food. He said, airplanes with tables, the coolest thing about the NBA. We laugh about it. Hey, multiple sets of pants, equipment that fits,
awesome.
Uniforms that fit. Don't laugh, because guys in the minors don't get a lot of those.
You have
nice
to buy
things.
Your own pants in the minors.
Yeah. Hey,
if you want them to fit, you buy them yourself.
There you go, Mr. Barker. Thank you for doing this. You'll be back tomorrow,
if you let me. Yes.
The question is, will I be back tomorrow?
Oh,
no, we will. Don't forget, we're all just day to day. For Joe Biagini, Kevin Barker, and Jack Curry, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Central. Talk to you guys again tomorrow.